Malachi chapter number 1 is where we'll get started, Malachi 1, and we're just going to read a couple of verses here, just the first two, and we'll get jumped in here. Bible says, Malachi chapter number 1 and verse number 1, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Yet was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob." So here's what we want to look at today. I want to show you three areas in the Bible where we can get God to bless us a little bit more. How many of you would say this morning, "I'm blessed by God"? I hope that everybody could, even if you didn't raise your hand, in your heart, you could raise your hand and say, "I've been blessed beyond measure. I've been given salvation. I have the Word of God. I have a family. I have life. I have breath to serve. I have been blessed by God." Honestly, even if we don't even take into consideration our circumstances or the difficulties of life, even in those things, we've been very blessed by God. And so what I want to show you here is a couple of ways to get God to bless you just a little bit more. And as I look at this text, as I look at who the Lord is and who He is to me, and that I get to be His son, I look at the ways that I've failed. I look at the ways that I've come up short, and yet He still loves me without question, and He still loves me to the end of time and eternity. And I think that probably the greatest significant truth that we could come to out of the Bible or take away from the Bible, and probably overarches the entirety of the Bible, is that God loves you. And God here in this verse says, in verse number 2, "I have loved you." What an incredible thing. And if God loves us, my little one Alice, she said, "Dad, why does God love us?" She asked me that one time. How do you answer that? I don't know. I don't know why God loves us, but He does. He chose to, and He does. And it's really incredible. And although we all give Him reasons not to love us, it's never changed His mind. And I'm telling you, one of the things that we need to grasp here is that God loves you, and God wants better for you. We could go to Luke 11 and see this. God wants better for you than you could ever want for your kids. Right? "If ye which are being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more the Father?" He loves you and wants the best for you. He wants to bless you. So let's get into a place where God can bless us, and let's allow God to bless us even more than He already has. So we could go through the whole book of the Bible, the whole Bible, all the books, and we could see God's love and we could see God's care for His people. One of the ways that I think that God shows us that is obviously through the person of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. But He set the precedent so clearly as far as for His care for Israel, particularly, since that's what we're dealing with here in Malachi. And maybe it's easiest to see when we look at like the Exodus from Israel, from Egypt, and how God set Israel free with the plagues and with all the things, and even through the time of the wilderness when they were wandering through there because they had rejected the plan of God. Yet God still provided for them, didn't He? Their shoes didn't wear out. He provided water for them. He provided manna. He provided quail. He brought them to the promised land when they were actually ready to go in, and He provided for them there, and he sent out the Canaanites and all the Ite brothers out before them and gave Israel great victory. And really all He said to them was, "Hey, don't get involved with what they got going on. Wipe them out. We don't want you to be marrying their daughters. We don't want you to be worshiping their gods, because that's inevitably what would happen if they got involved with the Canaanite culture." And guess what? That's exactly what they did, and eventually they didn't wipe everybody out. Eventually they started making treaties, and they did all these things, and then they started marrying, and then all of a sudden the gods of the land began to take over. And if we were to go into the rest of Malachi, there's places there where the Lord comes to Israel through Malachi, and He curses them. And He says, "You have done wrong by me. You haven't done right." And, you know, and even in chapter number 3, and those some of the more common verses when it comes to stewardship, or Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 7, or verse number 8, it even says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye say, and you have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And the Bible says, "In tithes and offerings." And so the Lord in verse number 9 says, "You're cursed with a curse." Right? Because they had gotten so far away from God that now, even in spite of the fact that He loves them and wants to bless them, they've made their situation to where God has to curse them. And yet through that, God is just pleading with them and saying, "Then come back to me. so that, and prove me. In verse number 10, he says, bring all the tithes, just make things right, that ye may, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall be not room enough to receive it. And he'll rebuke the devourer, and all nations shall call you blessed in verse 12. God wants the best for us, even when we're not in line with him. It's really incredible. And there's so many ways where we can get off course. But I think in finances is one of our biggest ways. And maybe in America, it's as prolific as it could possibly be. Doesn't 1 John 2 tell us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the love of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away. Right? So if we get distracted from the things of God by the things of the world, and what does the world want for us? The world wants to consume everything that we have. Everything that you give to the world, you can look at the prodigal son and see it. He had great substance and he came back with nothing. He has literally nothing to show for it in a very short amount of time. And if you yield yourself to the things of the world will take literally everything that you have and leave you with nothing. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Psalm 62:10 says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Why? Because don't they take wings like eagles and fly away? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? That if all of our focus is on the financial or on the earthly things, we're going to be very, very disappointed with what we actually get out of life. Colossians 3:5 says that tells us that covetousness is idolatry. And in Mark 4:19 it says, in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word and it becometh unfruitful, in the parable of the sower. That the things of the world, the cares of finances that haven't been properly managed, can actually constrict the work of God in your life and limit what you're able to do for him. And I don't think that that's really the desire of anybody in here. I would assume if you're here this morning, knowing it's been announced that we're coming about finances, you probably want to hear something that's going to help you. And probably maybe try and loose those things that would have that chokehold on your life if you have those things in them. And so what I want to do here is I want to take you to three separate passages of Scripture. And I want to give you three principles on how you can get yourself into a place where you allow God to bless you more than he already has. And so if you look at with me in Psalm chapter number 1, Psalm chapter number 1 is just, this would be a great section of Scripture just to memorize if you haven't committed it to memory. It's a short chapter, 6 verses, but really sets in perspective what a lot of our life should look like. And so if we look at verse number 1, it says, blessed is the man. Does anybody know what the word blessed means? Yeah, happy. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man. Cared for is the man. The person that the blessing of God's hand is upon them. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How many would like to be verse number 3? Right? Tree planted by the rivers of water. Everything you do prospers. Your leaf doesn't wither. Nothing. I mean, things are going your way. Right? The true blessing of God is evident in your life. That's where I'd sure like to be. Well, how do you get there? Verse number 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And then verse 3, whatever he does will prosper. Obedience to the word of God brings a blessing, and disobedience to the word of God every time brings conflict. Obedience equals blessings, disobedience equals conflict. If we were to go over to Psalm 19:11, speaking of the word of God and the keeping of the word of God, it says that in the keeping of them there is great reward. If you know what the Bible says and you do it, God's going to bless you for it. But how do you come to a place where you say, you know what, whatever the Bible says, I'm going to do it. Whatever God wants me to do, that's where I'm at. You have to come to a place where this is something that you learn to absolutely love. To love the Word of God. If you want God's blessing on your life, learn to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Learn to love the Word of God. Because when you love the Word of God and you delight in it day and you meditate in it day and night, you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers. God's going to be able to bless you in ways that He would never otherwise be able to, because the truths of the Word of God and your obedience to them is how God is able. I mean, think about it. How many of you have kids? Yep. How many of you kids, when you go and tell them to do something, and they stick their tongue out at you and they tell you no, you'd be like, oh man, I just want to give you the whole wide world right now. No, you're going to get something else, aren't you? Boys on the front row, I see you. But when your kids, when you say, hey, go clean your room, or hey, go do the dishes, or hey, the laundry needs folded, or hey, the car needs washed, or whatever the case might be, the lawn needs mowed. And they just, with a sweet heart and a desire to be in obedience and be in subjection and to do it quickly and do it graciously and do it, you're like, wow, man. We're going to Andy's afterwards, right? You guys have Andy's down here? You know what Andy's is? Does anybody know what Andy's is? Oh, ice? Yeah, a frozen custard. Glory, hallelujah. I'm telling you what, if we're going to have to start a franchise down here. Do you guys know what Freddy's is? Okay, so it's like Freddy's frozen custard, but good. So there's that. So yeah, you get like Freddy's Plus. If you do everything, you know, you want to reward people and your children specifically because you love them. But when they're in line and they're in spirit the way that they need to be, man, you just want to do more and do more and do more. And in the very same way, if we know what God expects of us and we just yield to that and we say, Lord, I know what you want for me because I love your word and I meditate on it and I want to be in line with that. Why wouldn't God give you a fruitful life? Of course he would. But if you know what the Word of God says and you say, you know what, that's not for me. I'm just going to go do my thing. All that, it doesn't mean you're not a child of God if you're saved. It just means that the hand of blessing can't be as heavy upon you. It just means that maybe your tree isn't quite planted by the rivers of water yet. It means maybe your leaf might be a little bit withered. And we look around at our lives and we go, well, man, why am I in this season? Why am I in this place? Why isn't God blessing my life? And maybe it's just because we're not in line with him. Maybe it's just because we haven't loved His Word and meditated on it and fallen in love with it to the point where we just go, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do because I need your blessing on my life because I want to have this relationship with you. And looking at the Word of God, meditating on it, studying it, memorizing it, these are the ways that we can learn to just, man, fall in love with what God has for us and allow God's free hand of blessing to be upon us. The word blessed, like we said, you know, happy. I think that a lot of times when people consider being blessed by God, they look at it, or we maybe even tend to look at it like, oh, well, that means I'm going to have a fatter bank account. Or that means I'm going to have a faster car. Or that means I'm going to have a bigger house. So that could mean a whole lot of things, right? You guys know what kind of car Abraham drove? A Cadillac. You can use that later too. Everybody knows that. why when we think of being blessed, is it only in the material often? Wouldn't being blessed also potentially be like our church is stable, our church is growing, our pastor's growing? Have you guys been able to watch your pastor grow? You've been here 5 years, right? You see it. You see what the Word of God affects him. How his life changes. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could say, God's blessed me so much, my kids are saved. My kids know the Lord. My kids love the Lord. My kids want to be in church. My kids are serving the Lord. That's a blessing. You can't put a dollar number on that. I have my health. I get to serve the Lord. I mean, I was just this morning, I was in the room back here praying, and I stand amazed every time I get ready to come out and do this. Come out and preach, come out and present, solve a mission, travel down, do. I am shocked that God lets me do this. I feel so blessed beyond measure to be part of this. This fills my cup more than you could imagine. And I love doing it, but how often do we look at it and just go, well, man, if God would, you know, bless me financially, if God bless me here. Like, get your eyes off of the material. Start looking at the spiritual blessings. The material blessings God will give as well. But man, if our focus is on the spiritual, How much better and how much more fruitful and how much more long-lasting and eternal are those kinds of blessings? So what kind of blessings do you really want? I remember when I was a kid, I'll let this point go. I remember when I was a kid, I used to pray and ask God for $11 million. Very specific. Here's why. Because everybody knows if you have $11 million, you have to tithe. And I still wanted $10 million. Worked out pretty good. He has yet to do that. I've been praying for that a long time. But I remember we were at a church one time and I was sitting at a table with a bunch of boys and they're all, you know, talking about money and talking about cars. And I was like, okay, guys, let's imagine for a second. God gives you $100 billion, okay, with a B. Like, that's a lot of money. What are you going to do with that? Like, oh, man, I'm going to buy me like a Lamborghini. Cool. And then what? Oh, I'm going to buy a big house. Okay, cool. Then what? I'm going to travel the world, see all the sights. Cool. Then what? What are you going to do with the other $99 billion? Like, eventually money doesn't have that much value. Like, you do everything you could possibly imagine to do in life, and you still have so much. Like, start thinking more beyond this life. Start thinking more into the eternal. And I'm telling you, it will change your concept of being blessed. It will change your understanding and your reception of blessings as well. That if we were to take stock spiritually of our blessings, I think you might find that you're actually way more blessed than you think. And that now, as we begin to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord and allow Him to continue to bless us, we could do it even more. Look at Luke chapter number 14. So the first one is love the Word. Luke chapter number 14, we're going to find number 2. This is how God also blesses us, and this is to love others. You want God to bless you? Then learn to love others. Learn to help others. Let's look at 3 verses here. Luke 14, chapter 14, verse number 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. If you want to be blessed by God, right here, does anybody else see those words in red? Those are Jesus' words, right? That's a pretty good indicator. This is for us. You want to be blessed? When you do something, do it for people that can't do anything for you in return. If you go and you have this great feast, you have this great party, and you invite all the rich people, you invite all the popular people, so that when they have theirs, you'll get invited to theirs. Like, what good is that? Okay, so that's just like, I do one thing, you do it, and we'll both scratch each other's backs kind of thing. Where this is saying, go do it for somebody that you don't know. Go do it for somebody that can't pay you back. Go do it for somebody that's blind, that's maimed, that's halt. Somebody that most people would look at and go, ew, I don't want them at my house. Go do something for those people and find that God is going to bless you in this life and in the next, in the resurrection of the just. How many of you guys eat out? It's okay. It's okay. We can all be honest here. We went out to Bold Barbecue last night. Have you all been to Bold Barbecue? You need to go to Bold Barbecue. That was good stuff, man. I love that. Here's what I know, that there are people all around us that are hurting all the time. Would you agree that America's hurting? Our communities are hurting. People are in bad shape mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. That there's a huge, massive need for the gospel. There's a huge, massive need for what we have in the world, right? I mean, suicide is up. Was every, I think, 11 minutes somebody commits suicide in our country. It's incredible, right? If you go out and eat and you have a waiter or a waitress, wouldn't it be an incredible opportunity to... You're going to pray for your food anyway, right? What if we prayed with them? We said, hey, we're about to pray. We're about to have prayer over our dinner. We believe in prayer and seeking the Lord and thanking the Lord. Anything that I could pray for you about? I remember the first time I went out on Solomon Ministries with Steve. We were down in Lawton, Oklahoma. And we went to an Applebee's with the pastor. This is just burned in my brain. I remember this like it was yesterday. And this lady, her name was Tracy. She was our server that day. And Brother Steve said, hey, we're about to pray for lunch here. Is there anything we could pray for you about? And she's been this happy, giddy, how can I take your order? Super excited for you guys to be here. He said, can we pray for you about anything? And she just broke into tears, just broken right there at the table. weeping because that the night before she had to leave home with her three kids and go to a shelter because she was in an abusive relationship. She said, please pray for our safety. Pray that we're going to be okay. Like, prayed for people at the table that whose kids have leukemia. Prayed for people that are in just unbelievable situations. And you never know it, right? And it's so easy for us to go, oh, the service wasn't that good. Well, you have no idea what they're going through. What an opportunity for us to share the love of God to people that could never do anything back for us, right? And that's just one small example. You could do that with your neighbor. You could do that with your family. There's probably extended family that you could have a word of prayer with that might change their entire perspective on who you are and who God is. And rather than just going through life and either having maybe a complaining spirit, a dissatisfied spirit, or why wasn't it this way, or why did this person do this, or why did they cut me off in traffic? You have no idea. I don't get too worked up about it. Actually, I do. I yell at people. Just keep that under the dash. Nobody will ever see it. But we tend to look at life only through our lens. When there's a whole world that's out there maimed and blind and hurting. And God says, go bless them. Go help them. If you'll love others like Jesus loved others. We talked about the Lord's earthly ministry in Sunday school. A lot of his earthly ministry was healing sick people, raising people from the dead, putting ears back on people. Like, he did a lot of things to help people. And they couldn't do anything in return. What do you do in return to Jesus when he raises you from the dead? And he set that example for us. And we can do that for other people. And God says if you'll do that, you'll be blessed. So we love, that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We want to bless you. We want to help you. I'm not looking for anything in return. I want God to bless me. I want God to bless my family. I want God to bless our ministry. I want God to bless every part of our lives. So why wouldn't we then come and try to help as many people as we can in whatever situation we find them in a better one? That's exactly what we're here for. So if we want God to bless us more, we need to delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. We need to love the Word. And we need to love other people, people that can't help us. Love the Word, love other people, and love the Gospel. Share the Gospel. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, super, super familiar verses. We're going to jump right down to verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You have beautiful feet today. Don't take off your shoes to prove it, preacher. Because feet are gross. I'm just going to say it again. Feet are gross. Whether we're talking about discolored toenails or hairy toes or flat feet or whatever. They're nasty. And yet, what did Jesus do 36 hours before he went to the cross? He girded himself with a towel and he washed the feet of his disciples. Because he knew that those were the feet that were going to take the gospel to the world. It's the same idea. Beautiful feet, blessed as you go. Blessed are the people that go with the gospel. That's our command, isn't it? Beautiful are the feet. Again, we're not talking about physical. That's nasty. But when you think about what we carry and the message that we carry and what God has commissioned us to do and what we've been made stewards of, the beautiful gospel, the places where we go and bring the gospel to the people that need it, the missions trips, nothing will change your life like a missions trip. You go somewhere else across the planet. I've been able to go to several missions trips. Most recently, we went to Thailand, and we were there with Brother Mike Wells. If you know Brother Mike Wells over in Mesquite, went with his church on a missions trip over there to Bangkok, and then we went down to Hua Hin with Brother Todd Painter. I have walked streets, according to Brother Painter, in the city of Hua Hin, Thailand. There's never been a gospel preaching church. It's been there for like 6,000 years of human history, and there's never been a gospel-preaching church. We went down the streets of that town. I remember three streets specifically. He said, we've never been down these streets before. We gave the gospel in places it literally, in the history of mankind, has never been. And I walked out with a track, and I was through an interpreter talking with a young man, and all of a sudden people started flooding out of the houses. And we had 20 people standing in a circle listening. They never heard anything like it. They'd never heard of hope like this before. Change your life. That's the kind of gospel that we have. That's the kind of mission that we have. And until we fall in love with the gospel and fall in love with people and fall in love with the Word of God, there's the hand of blessing of God is just limited. If you want the blessing of God, do the things that are needful, that the Word of God tells us. If you'll delight yourself in the law of the Lord, I'll bless you. You'll be a blessed man. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. If you'll do things for people that can't help you, you will be blessed. If you take the gospel, your feet will be beautiful. You'll be blessed as you go. How many of you want the blessing of God? Again, one more time. How many of you are willing to do these three simple things? Love the Lord. Love the Word. Love people. Love the gospel. I thought this was about finances, Brother Todd. Does anybody see any connection? Yeah, I know we're here as financial help. But man, if we could line these things out, put God first, put the gospel, get the gospel farther, love people. What do you think our priority then will be when it comes to money? What do you think our priority will be in our thought processes about setting a budget, about the things that we spend our money on? If you spend a dime on this world, when you spend it, it's gone. When you spend a dime for eternity for the gospel, that goes on forever. How many hours do you have in a day? 24. Most people sleep 8. Some people sleep 12. Most of us work 8. What do you do with the other 8? Are you going to spend them on yourself? Are you going to spend them on others and on the Word of God and on the gospel? An hour of time spent for this life dies with you. An hour of time spent for the Word of God and for the gospel lasts for eternity and changes the lives of so many. Our small investment on this side, God can take and God can expand and God can do so much more with than if we ever were to try to do it on our own. I'll leave you with this. Look at Colossians chapter number 3. And we'll be done. Colossians 3. And verse number 1. Colossians 3, verse number 1. The Bible says this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I want God to bless me, spiritually, materially, in every way that we can, for the furtherance of the gospel. Look at the men that God did bless. Abraham, David, all the people that we talked about. Delighted in the Lord, loved people, gave the Word of God, helped other people to know God. If you do those things, God will bless you. If you don't do them, we're still blessed, but maybe just not as much as we could be.